Most men will proclaim each one his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children follow after him and are blessed. So I'm talking to this guy here the other day at Walmart who comes up to me, and he is both sincere and he's kind, and he's desirous to be a good father to his daughter who had attended our summer extravaganza we call Vacation Bible School. And we got to talking a little bit, and he said, you know, my daughter asked me about the subject of hell, and she had asked me if that was a bad word to use, and I told her that not necessarily, depends on the context. And I said, well, what did you tell her about hell? He said, well, I said the only people who go there are bad people who make bad choices, they act badly, and they disobey God. That's pretty good. I said, how about you? Do you make bad choices? Do you act badly? Have you disobeyed God? He goes, well, yeah. I said, well, then, are you going to hell? Well, no, not me. You see, in his mind, the remedy for hell was good, moral, upright behavior. You know, you clean that up, you can punch your ticket to heaven. If we isolate the book of Proverbs, we might come away with that kind of thinking. But as we've said from the start, if that's your conclusion, not only are you not seeing Proverbs in the light of the big picture of Scripture, you're not seeing Proverbs in the light of itself. The whole book of Proverbs in our quest for wisdom is about fearing God and knowing Him personally in every circumstance of life. In fact, in the most notable of all Proverbs, and a personal favorite to many of you, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Here's this line, in all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. That word acknowledge Him, the Hebrew literally says, know Him. In all of your ways, in all of your circumstances, no matter what it is, high or low, you know, just boring or exhilarating, know Christ. That's the idea here. Know Christ. And this is what Paul meant, isn't it? When he said, you know, I've got all these things in my life that I could talk about, but those things which were, you know, a big deal to me, they're not, all I want to know is Him. I want to know the power of this resurrected life. I want to know what it means to fellowship with Him in His sufferings. Know Him. As the Old Testament scholar Derek Kidner said, that Proverbs seldom takes us to church, he says. And the reason is because most of our life is lived outside of church, right? You know, besides this hour today, you've got a whole lot of life outside of our time together, where you interact with all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances, where you have an opportunity to know God in whatever circumstance it may be, and to go deeper in your understanding of Him and your wisdom and your walk with Jesus. So, there's a little child's prayer. It's been around for a long time. It says, God, make the bad people good and the good people nice. I like that because God is the one who has to do it. Unless God makes us anything, we'll never be good. Because no one is good according to Scripture. God has to make us so, doesn't He? And He does by what His Son Jesus did. Now, the book of Proverbs, as we take this summer time, we're not looking at every chapter and every verse. It would take us so long to do it. There are over 85 separate subjects in Proverbs. 85. There's even a proverb on how to take care of your pets. I'm not going to tell you which. You can find that on your own. There's a proverb that explains to us why we love gossip so much. In fact, it's the only book in the Bible that really gets down deep and talks to us about what's going on in the inner sanctum of our hearts as to why we love to listen to the bad stories of other people. And the reason why we love it so much is because gossip is likened to the book of Proverbs to a delicious delicacy that only you or maybe a few others get to enjoy. That's likened to that. And that's the reason why. In fact, when it goes down, it stays down deep in our lives. But today, I want to talk to you about integrity. There is an amazing contrast between two dialogues, between two separate sets of personalities in Job chapter 1 and 2. And I'll just share, many of you know the story. It's famous. In the first is between God and Satan. After the devil's first failed attempt, this is in chapter 2, after his first failed attempt to get Job to turn away from God and go toward him, you know, here is God talking to Satan, and he speaks in no too subtle terms. Listen to what God says in Job chapter 2, verse 3. He says, and the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? And there's none like him in all the earth. He's blameless, he's upright, he fears God, turns away from evil." Now watch this line, because this is the one, as I'll prove to you in a moment, that made our eternal fiend bristle. "He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." There's the line. God says a lot about Job in this section right here, and virtually says the same thing in chapter 1 about him. But this is the one, that line, "he still holds fast his integrity." That's the one that made him bristle. You want to know how I know that with 100% certainty? Because now God unleashes Satan. In fact, he doesn't unleash him. He just puts a bigger leash on him. He never unleashes him entirely. He just gives him a longer leash. And he gives the devil a longer leash. And if you know the story, he just comes at Job with a veracity unparalleled in the annals of men. In the end, here is Job. He's lying there in utter ruin. He is on the verge of death. He's covered from head to toe in boils. The specter of death is hanging over him. And not just the specter of death, his wife is too. That's not a good thing either. Because the only thing he's got left at this point is his wife and his life. He's not really excited about either one. His wife looks at him and in chapter 2 asks this question to Job. "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" Now, where did that come from? I mean, it's a virtual quote of what God said. The statement that God made of Job, his wife, turns into a question. This was clearly of the devil. And it was at this point that Job never sins. He comes through shining because he's a man of integrity. He does hold fast his integrity. You might say that Satan questions not only the truth of God, but he also questions truth in men. That's what he's doing here through his wife. Integrity. It's a great word. It's an even greater characteristic if we have it. And you can fail, listen to me on this, you can fail in just about every venture and aspiration of life. But in the end, if you are a person of integrity, you will be a winner. You'll be a person after God's own heart. Mathematicians like this word integrity. We get our word integer from this word. It means that which is whole, whole number. The word integrity means wholeness. That's what it means. In fact, it means to be complete. The Hebrew word literally means just that, to be complete, to be whole. It implies faithfulness. It implies truthfulness. It's used 16 times in the Bible, all of them in the Old Testament, every one of them. Many of them in the book of Proverbs, but not all of them. In fact, there's a couple of very significant references to this word integrity outside of the book of Proverbs. David in Psalm 26 says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity." What a statement. "I've trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." That's a confident prayer, is it not? And I've used that verse, by the way, you just looked at, many, many times in people's lives who have been falsely accused by others. God vindicates his own. You don't ever have to vindicate yourself. If you're in the right, if you're true, and you've walked in your integrity, wholeness, completeness, truth, not perfection, but you're consistent, God will vindicate you. Even later on in the selection process of a king for Israel, was in Psalm 78, God talks about the history of Israel. And then he concludes with these words about David. He finds David. He's amongst the sheep. He's leading sheep. And I want you to notice the very last line there. It says, "So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." The integrity of his heart. This explains, by the way, how David could be a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart because he had a heart like God's. God is the ultimate person of integrity, wholeness, completeness, faithfulness, and true, right? No wonder God was drawn to him. A number of years ago, I shared this in a Wednesday night Bible study. I did a study on integrity many years ago, and I referred to a book by Dr. Gregory Stock, who wrote a book called The Book of Questions, 275 of them in all, very thought-provoking. I just share a couple of them with you. Here's one. If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret having not told someone? And then he concludes, "Why haven't you told them yet?" Here's another one. Your house containing everything you own catches fire. After saving your loved ones, pets, you have time to make a final dash and save just one item. What's it going to be? This is my personal favorite. While parking late at night, you slightly scrape the side of a Porsche. You are certain no one else is aware that it happened. The damage is minor and would be covered by insurance. Would you leave a note? This writer says not long ago he heard about a fellow who really, really did do exactly that, except people were watching. As they looked on, he took out a piece of paper and wrote the following message. "A number of people around me think I'm leaving a note that includes my name and address, but I'm not," and stuck it in the windshield and drove off. Integrity. Do you have it? Let me just give you five thoughts on integrity from this book of Proverbs. Here's the first one. Integrity says, "I'm a man of my word. I will come through with my promises." Now, I'm feeding off the meaning of the word integrity itself here. Remember, we said it means to be whole. It means to be complete. It implies faithfulness. It implies truthfulness. And I love simple definitions, as you well know. We say wisdom is the knowledge of God applied to your life. That's wisdom, okay? Ted Engstrom, in his book Integrity, defines integrity very simple. Integrity is doing what you said you would do. How's that for simplicity? Integrity is doing what you said you would do. My personal favorite line on this in Scripture is in Psalm 15, where God lays out the qualifications of those who are going to come close to Him. And the one that really stands out to me is, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Don't you love that? That's integrity. The person who swears to his own hurt, no matter what's happening, no matter what he's going through, no matter what pressure comes upon him, he does not change. Integrity is not the same as being inflexible. In fact, godly people are always flexible, always ready to make a change when necessary for the glory of God, but never in their convictions. Integrity is simply, listen, it is simply being true to your word. That's it. It's just being true to your word. If you're not good for your word, you will not be good at anything else. Society, marriage, and nearly every relationship of personal meaning is based on trust. And trust finds its basis in the integrity of the one being trusted. Doesn't it? Without trust, what do we have? Am I right or wrong? Is God right or wrong? So it says, I will keep my word. Okay? I'm a man of my word. I'll do what I promised. Secondly, integrity. This is in chapter 2. You thought I'd probably get there, didn't you? Integrity is your greatest form of protection against your enemies. Integrity is your greatest form of protection against your enemies. There are many enemies of the truth. And I meant to say your enemies of the truth. There are many enemies of the truth. And of course, remember Job? Satan hates integrity. He hates it. If he can impact our integrity, he can impact us. If he can get you at the heart of your honesty, at the heart of your faithfulness, at the heart of your word, he's got you. Chapter 2, verse 7, look at what it says. He stirs up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in what? Say it. Integrity. David said this in Psalm 25, let integrity and uprightness, look at the word, preserve, protect me. In Ephesians chapter 6, there is this study of the whole armor of God. Are you familiar with it? We don't want to be unaware of the devil's devices, so put on the whole armor of God, right? That you may be able to stand against the devil. Now, that whole array of things starts with what? Do you remember? Not the helmet of salvation. It's not our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. It's not the breastplate of righteousness. It's not the shield of faith. It's not even the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is what? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. In fact, that has been one of the most misunderstood aspects of the armor of all of them. It is not talking about taking on the Bible. It's talking about a life of integrity. A belt, the belt of truth is the belt of truthfulness. A soldier's belt, a Roman soldier's belt, caused everything else to fit on him. His breastplate would not fit. The sheath for his sword would not fit. Nothing would fit on him properly to go into battle if his belt was not cinched up the way it needed to be. All of you NFL fans, we're still waiting with bated breath. Lockout will hopefully, not continue. But all Packer fans could live another year on that Super Bowl. Amen, Chuck? They got this outstanding all-star quarterback, all-pro quarterback, who's this otherwise humble guy, Aaron Rodgers. He did this weird thing every time he scored a touchdown. What is he doing? You remember what he'd do? He'd run in there and he'd score the touchdown and he'd go like this in front of all the fans. I said, what's this all about? Hey, he's mimicking a WWF championship belt. Actually, somebody gave him one after the Super Bowl as well. Let me tell you something. Your championship belt is a life of integrity. If you don't have that, I'm telling you right now, you mark my words, nothing else will fit. Nothing else will fit in your life. You won't be believable, let alone trustworthy. So it is this ultimate protective thing that we have, is this belt of truth, okay? Thirdly, integrity leads to a confident life that says, I'm not hiding anything. Did you catch that? Integrity leads to a confident life that says, I'm not hiding anything. I just ran into a dad here the other day. I hadn't seen him for several years. Believer, neat guy. Asked him how his family was doing. Told me about his son. Married, kids, now divorced. Oh, I said, man, he's a neat kid. What happened? Caught up in pornography. Hid it for a long time. Became revealed. Like everything eventually is, right? There's nothing hidden that won't eventually be revealed. A person of integrity says, I'm not hiding anything. And when you have that kind of life, that gives you confidence. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Look at that. Proverbs 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity, I love this, walks securely. But he who makes crooked his ways, crooked will be found out. That's a very important contrast there. I'll never forget the couple that walked through the line at the church many, many years ago. It was so funny. I hadn't seen him a week earlier, and I just commented on it. I said, I missed you last week. Oh, man, he says, my daughter was so sick. She had 104 temperature. I was up with her all night long. I said, gee whiz, brother, you were right where you needed to be. I'm glad you took care of your daughter. About 2 minutes later, his wife makes it through the line. I said, how's your daughter feeling? She better now after, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, your husband, you know, didn't come last week because he was up with her. Up with her? He's watching movies all night. I kid you not. And I have to tell you, I wish I could tell you a story that is strikingly similar to this, but it's too close to home. I mean, in terms of our church. But Chuck Swindoll tells a story of, he says, this would be several years ago, he walked into a hotel, he's in a hotel one day, he saw this a member of his church smoking a cigarette by the elevator. So he, in his words, I decided to go up to him and engage him in lengthy conversation. So the guy sees Chuck coming, he cuffs his cigarette, and is like this, and he slides it into his pocket like this as he talks to Chuck. So Swindoll says, I saw him do it, I thought, let's make this a little longer than I originally intended. He said the smoke was literally wafting up and circling around his neck and coming up, seriously, like a chimney. And so Swindoll finally says, I couldn't take it anymore. I finally said, hey, brother, why don't you just go ahead and finish your cigarette? It won't bother me. Swindoll goes, can you believe it? He denied he was smoking one. Just then the elevator doors opened up and he went in there and hit the thing and the doors closed. Swindoll goes, good thing, because he was about to become a living sacrifice. Oh my goodness. If you find yourself making up stories, stretching stories, twisting the real ones to cover up what you've been doing, or simply have a knack for trying to make yourself look better than you really are, you are not a person of integrity. You are you ready for this? you are a crooked person. Now, this isn't just one verse. Quickly look at these other verses that are related. Chapter 11, look at just chapter 11 and verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor person who walks in his integrity, but one who is crooked in speech and is a fool, than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Chapter 28, verse 6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a man who is crooked in his ways. And finally, verse 18, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. In every case, integrity is contrasted with crookedness. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I make it my aim to have a conscience void of offense before God and before men. Have you ever read that? That's a person with a clear conscience who can walk confidently. Integrity leads to a confident life. I can say to you, when I walk in integrity, I'm not hiding anything. Like some of you are undoubtedly doing right now. Fourthly, integrity is not just proclaiming your faith, it's living it. Remember the scripture we said at the onset, chapter 20, verses 6 and 7? Most men will proclaim each one his own goodness. It's our nature to talk about ourselves and to talk about our accomplishments. But a faithful man, who can find? And the implication here is, it's tough. The righteous man walks in his, say it. So, the faithful, the righteous man walks in his integrity. He doesn't just proclaim integrity or faith, he lives it. I watched a documentary just the other day. Many of you probably saw it. Diane Sawyer, J.C. Duggar. Did anybody see that? That is one of the most intriguing things I've ever seen. Here, I pointed it out a couple years ago, back in 2009. This woman who was 30, or no, she was 29 then. She's 31 now. She appeared out of nowhere. J.C. Duggar at 11 years old was kidnapped. Kidnapped, driven 100 miles from her home, where she would remain in the clutches of this demon-possessed man for 18 years, bear two of his children, live in squalor in a tent, visited by federal authorities 60 times. They never, ever suspected that he had her captive. She comes out, I mean, through a series of circumstances, this guy is in prison for life. And they show in this documentary, she's amazingly normal. She lacks a ton of bitterness. And I wish I could tell you at this point she trusted Jesus. But she said, and it grabbed me, she said, I don't believe in a higher power. And as the documentary went on, I realized why. Who could blame her? The guy was a crazed religious fanatic. The video showed a copy of the King James Bible on CD. Apparently, she was getting the Bible. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what was going on in that young woman's life? The bizarre understanding of Christianity that must have been given to her. Integrity doesn't just proclaim I'm a Christian. It lives the Christian life. James puts it best. Be what? Doers of the word, not hearers only. Now listen, if my kids reject the gospel, may they do so in spite of the integrity they see in the lives of their parents. If the people that you are closest to reject Jesus, God forbid, may it not be because you lived a double life right in front of them. Nobody's asking for a perfect life. It's not possible. But you can live a life of integrity by the grace of Christ. Here's the last thing I'll share with you. That is, integrity leaves a legacy of blessing. You see the last line there? His children. Take it in. Drink it in. His children are blessed after him. The Hebrew word blessed or blessed, however you want to pronounce it, means to be happy. It even implies an exclamation point. The root word for this word, blessed, means to go forward or to go straight, to advance. If I have a life of integrity, I can't save my children any more than you can. But if I have a life of integrity, that will, according to Scripture, wash over them, so to speak, with blessing. And by God's grace, that blessing will include placing their faith in Jesus. Isn't that what we want for our kids? And speaking of whom, everything I've said about integrity can be found in Jesus Christ. Everything. Think about it. Integrity says, I'm a man of my word. I will keep my promise, right? What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not what? Pass away. A man of his word. Integrity is your greatest form of protection against your enemies of truth. Remember that? The enemies of truth are constantly out there. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8? He said, which one of you convicts me of sin? How could he say that? Well, because he was sinless. We're not, but a life of integrity will protect us. Thirdly, integrity leads to a confident life that says, I'm not hiding anything. Do you remember when he was arrested in the garden? What he said in John chapter 18 and verse 20, he said these words, I have spoken openly in the world. I've always taught in synagogues, in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. I'm not hiding anything. Are you? Integrity is proclaiming your faith. I'm sorry, it's not just proclaiming your faith, it's living it. And what did Jesus say? The good shepherd, what? He lays down his life for his sheep. You might say that while living his faith, he died for ours. And finally, integrity leaves a legacy of blessing. A legacy of blessing? How does that, Jesus left a legacy of blessing? Well, what did John say? This is eternal life. That they may know him, right? And this is the record. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And John said earlier, the wrath of God abides on him. A legacy? Yeah, more than a legacy. A life Jesus gives us. He's passed it down to us by the virtues of what he's done on the cross. It can be yours. If you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior from sin, you'll never be able to have this life of integrity that people desire. It's his integrity that saves us. Perfect life, sacrificial death, combination, salvation. Applied to us. Applied to us. You give him your sin, he gives you his integrity, his righteousness, and that, bingo, punches your ticket right there. But you have to be sorry. You have to be repentant. You have to see, let God see inside of you and see the truth of your life. And if your life lacks integrity, believer in Jesus Christ, humble yourself today before the God who sees all. And if it does, thank him for affirming you, that you could pray with David, vindicate me, O Lord, because I've walked in mine. That's a huge statement. What a prayer. If you want to know Jesus, please go to him. He's told you to come to me. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden in your lack of integrity, your sinfulness. I will give you rest for your souls.